Praise the Lord. I welcome everyone tonight in Jesus' name. And I pray that the entrance of the word will bring light to every heart. Do good in every life. And take all the things that God has not planted away from our lives in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you tonight for the workers and believers training. We're asking, Lord, that your word will do good in every life tonight in Jesus' name. We pray, Lord, that the word will come afresh to everyone and give us better understanding of your word for proper application to every life, that the word will do good in everyone, in our spirit, in our soul, in our body, in our lives in general. Thank you, Lord, because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And the people of God said, Amen. God bless you. You can sit down. Tonight we're coming to an important subject, and we need to have better scriptural understanding concerning the topic of tonight. We're talking about divine healing. Divine healing through faith, not faith alone, and faithfulness. He wants us to be faithful, and he wants us to manifest faith. And once you have the combination of those two things, faith on the one hand, faithfulness on the other hand, there will be healing. Healing done by the Lord himself, without the help of man. That's why it's called divine healing. There's natural healing. When the animals, maybe they stumble somewhere, or their bones are broken, and they're in the forest, natural healing takes place. Sometimes when you cut yourself unknowingly, and it bleeds, and you wash it up, and you keep it clean without even any medication, there is natural healing. Sometimes when you are weak and sick, and maybe you need some sleep and you rest and you eat properly, there is natural healing. But there's also medical healing that, you know, the Lord has given wisdom to the experts and the doctors and the nurses and the medical people. And they're able to treat us and give us some appropriate medication, and we get healed. That one is medical healing. Nothing wrong with natural healing. Nothing wrong with medical healing. But there is divine healing when God and God alone is allowed to work in our lives and our body, and he heals us by his mighty power. What we're talking about tonight is divine healing, and that one comes through faith and faithfulness. In James chapter 5, we're reading from verse 14. James chapter 5, reading from verse 14, it says, is any sick among you? It's talking to believers, it's talking to the brethren. It says, let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Then he tells us in verse 15, it says, and the prayer of faith, not the oil, the prayer of faith shall save the sick, shall heal the sick, shall recover the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. He raised him up from the bed of affliction. He raised him up from the suffering he's been going through. And if he has committed sins, it shall be forgiven him. And then we're told in verse 16, it says, confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another that ye may be healed. Confess that she may be healed. Repent that she may be healed. Turn around that she may be healed. And also it says that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. The righteous man may be the person that is sick himself. He is born again. He is a child of God. There's no condemnation in the heart. He is righteous. His prayer, the effectual prayer of a righteous man, availeth much. It may be your husband or your wife. Yeah, well, the wife is righteous and is holy in the sight of the Lord. and the husband happens to be sick, the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous woman, of the righteous spouse, availeth much. It may be the husband to the wife, it may be the parents to the children. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It may be a member of the church, a leader in the church, an elder in the church, a standing child of God, and is righteous. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It may be the prayer of the pastor, the prayer of the shepherd over the flock of God. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And the prayer of the elders and the prayer of the leader will avail over you effectively in Jesus' name. There are three things we're looking at today. Number one, we're looking at the first and former cures through divine healing. We look at the Bible from the Old Testament to the New Testament, and we look at the former cures and the first cures in the Bible through divine healing. Number two, we're looking at the frequent and fatal causes of denied healing. Sometimes people prayed and there's no answer, and we need a solution to that. Sometimes we're sick, a believer is sick, a child of God is sick, or even a sinner is sick, a dependent, somebody who lives with us is sick, and we pray and pray and pray and there is no answer. We need to find out what is the cause for that, the frequent and fatal causes of denied healing. We're looking at number three. Number three is the forgotten and faithless condition for divine healing. The condition the Lord himself has given, and we're forgetting that. And sometimes when we pray and we're not healed, we don't ask why. Why is this happening? Why shouldn't I be healed now? There are conditions the Lord has given, and those conditions are faithless. They are still effective in place today. Let's come to number one. Number one, we're looking at the first and former cures through divine healing. And for us to properly remember, I'm putting these words in some particular ways. We're looking at this divine healing and the first people that got the healing before us. H is Hezekiah. Hezekiah was sick and he got healed. We're looking at 2 Kings chapter 20, reading from verse 1. It says, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, thus says the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Here we find, in the Bible, Hezekiah. Hezekiah was sick. He was a king. He was a king of the people of God. And the prophet came. Instead of the prophet praying for him, he said, set your house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Look at verse 2. In verse 2, it tells us, then he turned, that Hezekiah turned his face to the wall, and he prayed unto the Lord, saying, here is a man praying by himself. Praying for himself. The first thing you do when you're sick is to pray. Is any afflicted, let him pray. And when you're sick, you shouldn't forget the promises you have, the provision you have, and the possibility that you have that you can pray, and the Lord will answer your prayer. The Lord will answer my prayer. Look at verse 3. It says in verse 3, it said, I beseech thee, O Lord. Then he goes on to say, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart. And yeah, I have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept some. You see this recording of healing, the man prayed by himself and he looked at his life, he examined his life and he told the Lord, I have walked before you with a perfect heart. Obviously, he was telling the truth. Obviously, he said that out of conviction and God did not say, no, Hezekiah, there's sin in your life. It was true, he lived like that. And they were told in verse 4, it says, and it came to pass before Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying in verse 5, turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David, thy father. It says, I have heard thy prayer. He has heard my prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. Look at that. Isaiah told the man, you will die, you will not live. And he prayed, and he prayed with a perfect heart. He prayed with a clear conscience. And God said, I will heal thee. Look at the next verse there in verse 6. It says, and I will add unto thy days 15 years. That's a former healing in the Bible. We're looking at E here. E is Elizabeth. Elizabeth, that's the wife of Zechariah. They had been living righteous lives in the sight of the Lord, and she was barren. And even though she had been serving the Lord, she was barren. We may be serving the Lord with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, may be faithful to the Lord, and yet there is a but. There is something physically wrong in our body. And the testimony that we're given is that the Lord healed the barrenness, and she had a child. Look at Luke chapter 1, reading from verse 6. And they were both righteous before God, walking in the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And yet there was this problem, and an angel was sent, angel Gabriel was sent to the husband, to Zechariah, and said, your wife would conceive and bear a child, even though he doubted because of the old age. But the angel said, I come from the presence of the Lord. What the Lord has said will still be performed. What the Lord has said in your life will be performed. And eventually we're told in verses 36 and 37. Look at verse 36. It says, and behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. Look at verse 37. In verse 37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Barrenness will be healed. Incurable disease will be healed. And all the challenges we have, the Lord will take them away in Jesus' name. In the word healing, H for Hezekiah, E for Elizabeth, and A for Abimelech. We're looking at Genesis chapter 20, reading from verse 7. In Genesis chapter 20, verse 7, God was talking to him, and he said, now therefore, restore the man his wife. Abimelech had taken the wife of Abraham, because Abraham had said, she is my sister, actually half-sister, daughter of the same father, but not daughter of the same mother. And Abraham had married Sarai. And when they went about, she said, don't tell the whole truth to them. Just say, we are brother and sister. That's what Abimelech had. And he took the woman, and now she became like the whole house became barren. And God came to him and said, thou art a dead man, for the woman that thou hast belongs to another man. How God was so faithful and so kind and so loving that he revealed to Abimelech what nobody else could have revealed unto him. And now therefore, God talking to Abimelech, restore the man, his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee. Then it says, and if thou restore her, and thou shalt live, and if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, thou and thy, and all that are thine. God, at this early stage of revelation in Genesis, required restitution. You've taken another man's wife. There's need for restitution. You've taken a daughter belonging to a family, and you have not done the right thing in getting married to her. There is need for restitution. If it's taking a woman, or taking money, or taking something belonging to other people, and you're sick, even if you are not sick, to get to heaven and to be right with God, you need to make restitution. It was God himself that first preached that restitution. And look at verse 14. In verse 14, we're told, and Abimelech took sheep and oxen and men servants and women servants and gave them unto Abraham, and restored him Sarah, his wife. You might give all those other things, that's okay, but what the Lord is requesting is that you restore the man his wife. Make restitution. And we need to be checking up our lives. Is there something in my life I need to make restitution about? It says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. Look at verse 17. In verse 17, and Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maid servants, and they bear children, H for Hezekiah, E for Elizabeth, and A for Abimelech, L for the lepers. You remember those 10 lepers that came to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they shouted, and he said, Son of David, have mercy on us. They were asking for mercy. When we're asking for healing, we're asking for mercy. We're not asking for healing on the basis of marriage. God, you must do this. I pay this, I pay that. You must heal me. I do this, I don't do that. You must heal me. We come on the basis of mercy. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, go show yourself to the priest. That means you are healed. They wouldn't be showing themselves to the priest if they were not healed. But because Christ had affirmed their healing, they went. He didn't have to touch them. He didn't have to pray a special prayer. And while they were going, they were all healed. Many times we sometimes say that, you know, we have prayed, the Lord has answered your prayer and our prayer. And as you go, you will see the healing. And the people who believe that as they are going, healing will be manifested in Jesus' name. And then the next letter there is Israel. Israel also got healed. Look at Psalm 105. We're reading from verse 37. Psalm 105, verse 37. He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person in among their tribes. That the healing of the whole of Israel. God is a good God, and he shows his mercy, and he shows his love and power upon all the people that belong to him. We're told in Psalm 107, reading from verse 20, it said, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all their destructions. He did that at that time, and his God, he changes not. He will do in our lives in Jesus' name. Then we're looking at N, And it's Naaman. And Naaman, you remember his story. He was a captain of the army in Syria and eventually came to Elisha. And Elisha sent to him and said, go wash in the pool, at Jordan, and you will be cleansed and your flesh shall come back. You know his story. He first of all got angry. Why should he say that? Why didn't he come and touch the place? The servant pleaded with him. He went in first time, second time, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth. At the seventh time, the healing took place, because it will always be as the Lord has told you. The Lord has given us the promise. He said, do this and do this, whatsoever you ask in my name, that I will do. And the Lord will perfect his word in your life in Jesus' name. She is the gentle woman. In Mark chapter 7, reading from verse 25, Mark chapter 7, verse 25, for a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. Look at verse 26. In verse 26, and the woman was a Greek, a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by nation. And it says, and she besought him, besought the Lord, that he would cast forth the devil, the unclean spirit, out of her daughter. Well, you know the answer of the Lord that was saying to the children of Israel, and he's not trying to give the children's bread unto dogs. Said, yes, Lord, but the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And Jesus said, great is your faith, be it unto you according to your faith. And the daughter was healed immediately. And then she went back home and she saw the daughter had been healed. All these people, they give us principles and they give us the kind of faith we ought to manifest as we are asking from the Lord that he will heal us. And this healing that these people completed, I believe and I pray it will be completed in your life in Jesus' name. Hezekiah, Elizabeth, Abimelech, and the lepers, and Israel, as well as Naaman and the Gentile, the Greek, he did it for them. He'll do it for you. He'll do it for me. He'll do it for me. And sickness will not cut short your life in Jesus' name. Now we're coming to point number two. Point number two, we're looking at the frequent and fatal causes of denied healing. Why is healing sometimes denied? Why is it that people pray and sometimes they are not healed? Once again, we're going to use the letters of the word healing. Number one is the hypocrites. Hypocrites, look at Job chapter 36, and we're reading from verse 9. Job chapter 36, we're reading from verse 9. It says, then he showeth them their work and their transgressions, that they may have, that they have exceeded. There are people that sin and sin and sin, and they sin sometimes one time too many. That is, it's now getting to the point that God is saying, this is too much. They're going beyond and beyond and beyond. And it says that they have transgressed and they have exceeded. Look at verse 10. In verse 10, it says, he openeth also their ear, their understanding, to discipline, and commandeth that they return from iniquity. He wants them to return. He wants us to all return and to come to the Lord. Look at verse 12. In verse 12, it's saying, but if they obey not, they shall perish by the sword, and they shall die without knowledge. When he says, repent, repent, and the sick man is still living in sin. He continues in sin. He will not turn. He will not come back. Sometimes such people, they are not healed. They are just saying, God, heal me. God, heal me. How about your life? How about repentance? How about turning around? How about restitution? How about restoration? They say, I just want healing. Eventually, they die without knowledge. He is the evil man, the evil person. That's why some people, they're not healed. There's wickedness in their lives. There's abomination in their lives. There's iniquity in their lives. There is evil in their lives. In Jeremiah chapter 15, reading there from verse 18, why is my pain perpetual? You know, this person is asking, he's done evil, he's committed sin, he's living in abominable situation, and he has prayed and prayed and prayed, God, you are there, I know you can heal, why am I not healed? He says, why is my pain perpetual? And then it says, and my wound incurable, which refuseth to be healed. I pray and the sickness will not go. Will thou be altogether unto me as a liar? Is the promise of God becoming a lie to me? Why am I not healed all this time? We could have checked up in our lives. We could have examined our lives and to see why what is happening is happening. And then it says, like waters that fail. I pray that the promises of God will not be like the water that fails in our lives, in Jesus' name. And then we're looking at the adamant, the people who are doing something evil, and the preachers will come, and the prophets will come, and the warnings will come, and they still remain adamant. That's the reason why some people are not healed. They say, yes, I want healing. I've gone for crusade. I've gone for revival meeting. I've gone to the place to pray. I've done prayer retreat, and yet you're not healed because there is something you're holding on to, and you are adamant about that. In Jeremiah chapter 30, we're looking at verse 12. For thus says the Lord, thy bruise is incurable, and thy wound grievous. Look at verse 13 there. In verse 13, it tells us, it says in verse 13, there is none to plead thy cause, that thou mayest be bound up, and thou hast no healing medicine. Sometimes even the pills and the medicines and the treatments that people are given, it doesn't work, because God is saying, turn away from that thing, repent of that thing, make right your life. Healing is very easy, and to come to you directly, but they are adamant. In verse 14 tells us, and it says, thy lovers have forgotten thee, and they seek thee not, for I have wounded thee with the wound of an enemy. That's the Lord himself talking. He says, I am, this sin is from me. And if you're going to get healed, if you will not remain adamant in your evil, I will turn your way around. I will heal you. Look at verse 15. In verse 15, they were told, why criest thou for thine affliction? Thy sorrow is incurable for the multitude of thine iniquity. It's very clear. Because of the multitude of iniquity, it says, and because thy sins were increased, I have done these things unto thee. Adamant people who are adamant in sin and transgression, they find it difficult to retain or to have healing. L is the lustful. They're lusting after other things. And the things they're lusting after will not allow them to have the real healing they want. They lust after this, after this, after this. And, you know, they're on and on. They may even have some some of those things they are lusting after, but the healing they do not have. Psalm 78, we're reading from verse 30. In Psalm 78, verse 30, it says, they were not estranged from their lust. They had lust, they have evil concupiscence, and they have, you know, the desires that are not right in the sight of the Lord. They might hear messages and they might hear warnings. The Lord might even give them dreams and say that your way is perverse before me. And yet they are not estranged from their lust. And it continues to tell us that and their meat was yet in their mouth. Look at verse 31. In verse 31, the wrath of God came upon them. The wrath of God came upon them and slew the fattest of them and smote down the chosen men of Israel. It tells us in Psalm 106, Psalm 106, reading from verse 13, it says, they soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel. You see the people who are too much in a hurry, too much in a haste. I want to go there, I want to go there, I want to do this, I want to do that. And they are not seeking the counsel of God. It's just them now. And they're too full of themselves. In verse 14, says, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. Verse 15 says, and he gave them their request, but sent leanness unto their soul. At their times you find somebody, a man or a woman, just getting lean and lean and lean. So what's happening to you? Are you not taking care of yourself? Are you not eating? And they reply, you'll be surprised. I eat more now than I used to eat. But look at what is happening to me. Why don't you examine your life and see whether there's a kind of desire, inordinate ambition, inordinate desire, something you are panting after, something you want, and you are adamant about it. And God is saying, drop this sin and I will heal you. No, but they cleave to what they want, what they desire, like Absalom cleaving to wanting to have the position of his father David. Well, it says he sent leanness unto their soul. There is the lust, therefore, and then there is the incorrigible. The incorrigible. We're looking at 2 Chronicles chapter 21 and reading from verse 18. The incorrigible. It says, and after all this, the Lord smote him in his bowels with an incurable disease. That was a king in the land, and the Lord had warned him. The Lord had sent messages and messages upon messages to him, and yet he remains incorrigible. There are some of us, you know, anybody here in our church, we hear the word and hear and hear on Monday, on Tuesday, on Thursday, on Saturday, and on Sunday, and then in the evening in the house fellowship, we're hearing and hearing, but if we remain incorrigible and the word we hear does not change anything, it doesn't touch our lives, and we like to hear, we enjoy hearing, and yet we're incorrigible, we should fear the disease and the judgment and the infirmity coming upon our lives. Look at N here. N is the non-compliant. The non-compliant. This is the way, walk he therein, he will not comply. And this is what the Lord wants and demands in your life, and yet it will not conform to the word of God. The non-compliance, they sometimes, when they get sick, and in their sickness, all they ask, heal me, heal me, heal me. Comply with the word of God and incline your ear, incline your mind, incline your life to the word of God. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 26. And we're reading from verse 16. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. When he was strong, when people sometimes have nothing, when you do not have position, they do not have any authority, they do not have any power, they do not have any provision, and they're living from hand to mouth. Sometimes they're humble. Sometimes they go softly before the Lord. They're asking, Lord, why don't you do this? Why don't you do this for him? But when they are strong, that's when they become incorrigible. And then they go astray, and their hands are lifted up to their destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord, the God, and against the Lord God. And he said, went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. There are people that feel, why can't I go there? Why can't I get that done? Why can't I control that? And the Lord is saying, I've not given that to you. It appertaineth not unto thee to go that direction. No, but why? Why? Why are they doing and I cannot do it? What a man can do, a woman can do. What a pastor can do, a member can do. But that has not been given unto you. Let there be orderliness in the house of the Lord. And don't take laws into your hand. And so he went in to burn incense in the house of the Lord. Look at verse 17. In verse 17, and Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him a fourscore priests of the Lord that were valiant men. Look at the next verse in verse 18. In verse 18, it tells us, and they withstood Uzziah the king, and they said unto him, that it appertaineth not unto thee, that Uzziah to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron that are commanded, that are consecrated, that are ordained to burn incense, go out of the sanctuary, for thou has transgressed. The people, they feel so high, nobody can challenge them and say, you have transgressed. This is not right. This is not according to the word of God. And so this does not appertain to you to do that. And how did this man respond? We're told that in verse 19, then Uzziah was wrath. He was angry and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wrath with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead. And it says, before the priest in the house of the Lord, from beside the incense altar. He could have avoided that. Many sicknesses can be avoided. Many sicknesses shouldn't have come on us. But when we leave our place, we leave our position, and then we dabble into that and dabble into that, and there's no boundary anymore for those incorrigible and non-compliant people. There's no boundary anymore. They do anything and they do everything. Things that are right and things that are wrong. Things they ought not to do. And if you challenge them, they get angry. and then the judgment, the sickness comes from above. G is Gehazi. And well, you know his story. Naaman had come and had received healing, and he told the man of God to receive a present gift from his son. And Elisha the prophet said, no, freely you have received and freely give. He pleaded and pleaded, but Elisha said no. And then he went, was going away. Gehazi said, how can we lose all these changes of raiment and silver and gold and everything? And he ran after him and told the lie that, you know, we just received some visitors now, and Elisha, my master, sent me after you to get this and that. And he got, you know, things that they loaded him with. And he came back and put his secretly in an apartment in a chamber. And then he appeared. And Elisha said, Elisha, Gehazi, why have you been? I've been here all the time. The servant went nowhere. And then Elisha said, did not my eyes go with you when you followed after the man and you received this and that? And he said, the leprosy of Naaman come upon thee. Immediately was as white as snow. And because the judgment from the Lord, no man with any gift of healing can heal that man. He became incurably leprous because of the sin. So we understand that sicknesses come on people, and infirmities come on people, even death, like Ananias and Sapphira, even death comes upon people. And even the Corinthians, and many of you are sickly, and many of you are weak, and many have slept, that is, they have died because of their sins. I pray God will help us to avoid all those fatal causes of denied healing in Jesus' name. A good amen. Amen. Number three, we're looking at the forgotten and faithless condition of divine healing. Many of us have forgotten the condition of divine healing. You'll see that from the first time that God himself made the covenant of healing, he said, if thou shall diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, then, he says, I'll not bring upon you these diseases that are brought upon the children of Egypt, the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. There's condition. He wants us to hear his word. He wants us to obey his word. He wants us to do that which is right in his sight. We cannot just claim the promise of God while we overlook and trample upon the precepts of God. We cannot just say, God, heal me. But the Lord said, hear my word, and you turn your ears away. If you're not hearing the Lord, what right have you to tell the Lord God Almighty, do this for me? It goes both ways. The covenant has the human part. It has the divine part. Obey him and he will heal you in Jesus' name. Now, we're looking at these conditions under the word holiness. H is humility. When we're humble before the Lord, then he brings the healing to us. Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15, it says, for thus says the high and the lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and the holy place. Then he says, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. Contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble. And then it says to revive the hearts of the contrite ones. Look at verse 19. In verse 19, it says, I have seen his way. It says, he has seen it away. In verse 18, I have seen his ways and I will heal him. I've seen his way that is humble. I've seen his way that is contrite. I've seen his way. He trembles at my word. And because of that, I will heal him. The condition of healing, and which is still obtainable today, humility. Oh, is obedience. Obedience. In Exodus chapter 23, reading from verse 22. But if thou shalt indeed obey my voice. That's the condition he has given. He wants us to be humble. And then he also wants us to be obedient. If thou shalt indeed obey my will, my voice, and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries. Look at verse 25. In verse 25, and ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. Amen. But remember, we're coming from verse 22. There is humility, there is obedience, and then there is love. We're looking at Deuteronomy chapter 30, reading from verse 6. These are conditions of healing. It says, and the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord with all thine heart. If we love the Lord, we'll obey him. If we love the Lord, we will answer yes every time he commands. If we love the Lord, we will go and do everything he wants us to do. If we love the Lord, if he tells us to restore Sarah back to Abraham, we will do it if we love the Lord. If we love the Lord, it says, when you bring your gift to the altar and you remember that someone close to you, someone far away from you, someone, your acquaintance, he has an ought against you. You know it in your conscience that this is not right what you have done to him or what you have done to her. If we love the Lord, we will do what he has said. You leave your gift at the altar and you go reconcile with the one that you have offended and come back to offer your gift. But if we just go on and on, activity and preaching and, you know, exercising our gifts, and we step on toes, we never mind, and we do evil, we never mind, and we do things against the word of God, and we don't think about that. All we just do is that I'm going to minister. Well, when sickness comes and we're praying with heavy conscience, defiled conscience, disobedient conscience, and prayer for healing, prayer for deliverance, prayer for emancipation doesn't get answered that way. We love the Lord enough to obey him. It says that thou mayest live. Look at verse 20. In verse 20, it tells us that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life, and the life, the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, to give them. There is the love that obeys the Lord. There's intercession. I in that word for healing. For healing, the I is for intercession. In Job chapter 42, reading from verse 10. Here we are. Somebody is sick. And many of your friends have accused you, and they have said unprintable things about you in your sickness, and they have accused you, and you are asking for people to come and pray for you. You are bitter, you are angry, you are unloving, you are kind of, it's so deep in your heart what they have done, what they have said. You're even making some vows within yourself. When I get out of this predicament, when I get out of this sickness, those people, if I can't deal with them, I'll never go their direction, I'll never help them. And then you ask for prayer, we pray, I pray, they pray, everybody is praying for you, but the sickness is still there. Maybe you need intercession. You need to intercede for those who have offended you. And then your holiness will show out that you are forgiving them. Your holiness will show out that you have no grudges against anybody, that your mind is clean and clear for everybody. So it says in Job chapter 42 verse 10, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. When he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Intercession is very important. And newness. And is newness. That is newness of life. Newness of attitude. Newness in every way in your life. You are not moody. You live your life excitedly. You're positive, and you are not negative anymore. You're not looking down and, you know, thinking of negative things. You become a new person in the Lord. It says in Ephesians chapter 4, reading from verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, your inner mind. Your mind, your thinking, everything. When we come to know the Lord, and we know the Lord with a definite experience of sanctification, our minds are renewed, our hearts are renewed. It says be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Look at verse 24. In verse 24 it says, and that ye put on the new man. Put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Look at verse 26. In verse 26, it says, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Now, be angry and sin not. You know, some people read it, they add to the word of God. They say, if you are angry, don't sin. It doesn't put an if there. If is conditional. This one is a command. It says, be angry and sin not. Before you interpret that, please look at verse 31. In verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. You cannot interpret verse 26 properly except you come to verse 31. Verse 31 says, let all bitterness, take bitterness away from your heart, and wrath and anger, bitterness against people. Bitterness against your neighbor. Bitterness against your acquaintances. Bitterness against anyone. The people that have offended you. It says, all bitterness, all wrath, all anger, and clamor, and evil speaking. You know, the anger that when you say good about that person, you always have about this, about that. You always have something negative to say. And when everybody is saying, we praise the Lord for brother so-and-so, you pray, if you knew him as much as I knew him, you're not been saying, we praise God for brother so-and-so. Sister so-and-so is just marvelous. She's an angel of his sister. If you knew her, the much I know about her, you'll not be taught. She's, I can tell you about her. You know, every good thing we say about her, about him, there's bitterness in your heart, there is malice, and there is hatred. He says, put all that wrath away and put all the anger away and evil speaking. And it says, you put away everything away from your heart. Put away everything from your heart. Now come to verse 26. Now that you put away all that wrath and anger and clamor against somebody, against the people, now it says, be ye angry. This is a command. And if you don't obey this command, you are sinning. Be ye angry and sin not. What does that mean? Number one, be ye angry against sin. An angry countenance will drive away the tail bearer. Somebody is always coming to tell the story about so and so, about so and so, and he's coming again. You're not angry against him, you're angry against this gossip. You're angry against her gossip. You're angry against the sin. Wants to pull you into the sin of gossiping with him or with her. Be ye angry. Angry at sin. Number two. Be ye angry. Angry at self. Self. When you look at yourself and the trait of Absalom is coming to your heart, that you want to destroy the person ahead of you so that you can take his place. You are angry against that thought, against self. Me? How could I do that? What am I doing with position? Why do I want to kill David? Why do I want to destroy David so I can, be there? Why do I want to stain my hand with blood so that I will, take the place of another one? You're angry against self. When, James and John, when they were saying, well, stand on this side and sit on that side, they should be ashamed of themselves. And when Jesus eventually said, it's not for me to give that to you, how they must have wanted to hide. Why did I go to say that? Why did I go to demand that? Angry against self. And that's what we do when you find yourself going a particular direction. And you see that this direction will bring the frown of the Almighty God upon you. You say, how can I have a heart like this? I claim to be saved. I claim to be sanctified. How could this be in my heart? To want to injure another person and to want to trample down on another person. What kind of spirit is this trying to work in me? You are angry against sin. You are angry against self. Number three, you are angry against Satan. You are angry against Satan. Satan comes and he says, I give this to you if you'll just bow down. All those things they are saying in the office, if you will, agree with that, I'll give you a position. If you come into covenant with me, with them, and you get some blood and put it that way and that way. And Satan is pushing and pumping, and he's saying, do it, do it, do it. You are angry against Satan. I say, I don't want to do that. Get thee behind me, Satan. You must be angry against Satan. If you are smiling at Satan, who wants you to fall and who wants you to, forget about your Christian life, he wants to give you this, he wants to give popularity and everything. Now, in the preparation for healing and health before the Lord, this is what we do. H, we're humble. O, we're obedient. L, we're loving. And I, we're interceding. You intercede for everybody. New, you're new. And no anger in our hearts anymore in Jesus' name. give me a good, good amen.
Amen.
You know, Moses was not angry at himself. He was not angry at sin. He was not angry at Satan. It would have been all right to be angry at sin. If he says, I have a temper I need to deal with, and this temper is always coming and coming, and he's angry at that, and he's angry at himself, and he's angry at Satan, he would have done well. But he was angry at the people. You rebels, shall I bring water out of the rock for you to drink? When a miracle worker, a prophet, a preacher is angry at people, not angry at sin, not angry at self, not angry at Satan, he gets into trouble. Beware. And then E is earnestness. Earnestness in Jude chapter 1. Verse 3, it says, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Earnestness, earnestness is part of our holiness, especially when we're physically weak, especially when we have pain in our body, especially when we are sick. When, you know, people are sick, generally, they become so soft when they're sick and they're feeling pain in their body. They forget conviction. There's a tendency to compromise. Because, you know, here am I now, I'm so weak, here am I. They go to have the mind and the stage of a baby, of a little child. A little thing will make them cry. They're feeling sorry for themselves. They do not understand that earnestness is part of their holiness. That when they're sick, although they are praying, they're so soft, and then they overlook what they shouldn't overlook. This one is going on, they overlook it. I'm sick, I don't want to, you know, think about anything now. I want to, you know, get out of this sickness. They come into compromise, they come into cowardice when they are sick. But when we're sick and we're praying and we want the healing of the Lord, there's still the condition, faithless condition. There is still the condition, the faithful condition, that we should still earnestly contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints. Otherwise, what will you do at the point of death? Because one day, we will die. And at the point of death, somebody is, playing the fool beside you. You still can see, you still can think, you still can talk. But you are at the point of death if you compromise at that time. I'm sick now, I don't want to, you know, maintain the standard. You have to. That's how you will get healed, and that's how you will go home to glory. You must always earnestly contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints. S is submission. You're submitting to God. It tells us in James chapter 4, and we're reading from verse 7. James chapter 4, verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. When we're sick, ideas will be coming to our mind. Ideas will be coming to our head. Maybe I should go this way, go that way. Submit yourself to the word of God at such a time. The devil will bring suggestions so that you can get well. Are you not tired of this pain? Are you not tired of this challenge? That's the time you ought to tell the devil, go behind me and resist the devil. That's part of the condition. Look at verse 10. In verse 10, it says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. He will lift you up. The final S is sanctification. Sanctification is part of the condition for our healing and for our health. It tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, reading from verse 3, it says, this is the will of God, even your sanctification. At the time when you are sick, it is still the will of God, even your sanctification. Sickness does not permit us to have hot temper, bad temper, impatience, because you are sick. I need some water there very quickly. And then, they go to bring the water. Something delayed them, and then they are just coming. Are you just coming now with the water? I could have gone myself. You know that I'm sick. You know I cannot do, and you're doing this to me. And then you are angry. No. This is the will of God. Even at that time of sickness, even your sanctification. It says that ye should abstain from, tell me. Are you not there? That ye should abstain from, I can't hear you. You should abstain from fornication. You know, sometimes when you're sick, and there's a lady taking care, or bring food, or bring this, or bring that, your mind may go away from the sickness, and then your mind may be on her. Remember, at that time of sickness, the condition of divine healing and health is that you remain sanctified and pure, and you don't touch her. You don't do anything with her. Sometimes when people are sick, it's when they let down their guard. They are not resisting temptation anymore. But at that time of sickness, at that time of weakness, at that time of pain, whatever, at that time when it's like, you need help almost like a baby when you're sick, yet at that same time, this is the will of God. Even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. Here, look at verse 7. In verse 7, it says, for God has not called us unto uncleanness. God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Unto holiness. What do you mean, holy in Jesus' name? Holy, humble. Holy, obedient. Holy, loving. Holy, interceding. Holy, new nature. Holy, earnest. Holy, submissive. Holy, sanctified. And the grace and the promises of God be yes and amen in all your lives in Jesus' name. Don't tolerate sickness. Don't tolerate pain. The Lord has died for us to take all the pain away by His stripes. By His stripes, you are healed in Jesus' name. Let's rise up now and talk to the Lord in prayer. Let's rise up and talk to the Lord in prayer. Healing is the children's bread. Healing is the promise given unto you. Healing is yours by grace, by provision. Talk to the Lord. You remember Ezekiah? He refused to die. And the Lord said, I will heal you. And I've given you 15 years extra. You remember Elizabeth? Still walking in the way of the Lord, in the word of the Lord. Healing available for people like Elizabeth. You remember all those people? Abimelech, you are a dead man. That woman with you is another man's wife. Are you ever conscious when you're dealing or relating with married women? Somebody else's wife. You're living carelessly. Abimelech cannot even touch her. And God said, you are a dead man. The lepers, they came for mercy, and the Lord had mercy on them and Israel. Naaman and the Gentile, the Greek, Lord had mercy on them. His mercy is waiting for you. But examine yourself. Because there are things that hinder healing. Hypocrisy that hinders healing. Evil, talking evil, doing evil. That hinders healing. Being adamant. What I will do. Adamant. Lustful. Having lust. Being incorrigible. Non-compliant. You know the word of God, you know the way of the Lord, but you are not conforming. Living like Gehazi. But as you come to the Lord in all humility, with obedience, and we love God with all our heart, and we love nothing else more than God, and we're interceding for those who have hurt us, we have a new heart, a new attitude, a new mind, we're honest, we're submissive to God, and we allow Him to sanctify us, He will heal. His promise of a yes and amen in our lives. He will not fail you. He will not fail anyone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. An amen that brings immediate answer from heaven. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your love. Your love, every one of us without exception. And we know that you're looking at us in our situation. And whatever the situation may be, we're praying, oh Lord, you forgive and overlook anything and everything that will hinder our health, our healing, in Jesus' name. Wash us clean. Wash our soul, our spirit, our mind, our heart, every part of us. We pray you make everyone clean in Jesus' name. Confirm your goodness. Confirm the fulfillment of your promise in every life. No one will die before their time. The number of our days you will fulfill in Jesus' name. Help us, Lord. Let your promises be yes and amen in every life. Make us healthier today than we were yesterday. And take sickness from the midst of every one of us. We are your people, we are your servants, and we're telling other people about your grace, about your goodness, about the healing, and we're praying for other people. They are getting healed. We are the very source, at the very center of that healing virtue. Let your healing virtue flow into every life in Jesus' name. Amen. We are not weak anymore. We are not sick anymore. We will not die before our time. Now let the sick say, I am well, you are healed. And let the weak say, I am strong. May the promises of God be confirmed in every life. Thank you, Lord, because we know it is done. In Jesus' name we pray. You've got it. Go enjoy the presence, the provision, the power of God in your life, in Jesus' name.